You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, sponsored by flowmax.ie and bar1racing.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any of your favourite podcast outlets. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, series 4, episode 4 tonight. And joining me all the way from Longford once again after a big session at the weekend, it's John Breyer. I hope you've brought your A game, John.
Well, I really enjoyed that the weekend, Kieran. It was a decent match and we got to see Shamrock Rovers second team for the first time and a few drinks afterwards. And there was of course a full second set of Premier fixtures as well, so great weekend, and we've got loads to talk about, haven't we?
Yeah, geez, John, you must have more than I thought if you thought that Longford Rovers 2 game was a decent game. I didn't think it was myself, but look, we'll chat about that in a few minutes. We're going to start the show by reviewing the First Division opening weekend fixtures, and as you said, we've got a double set of Premier Division fixtures to talk about before we preview the weekend's action and give yet another charity bet. And well done, John, another winning charity bet from you last week, so we're up to about €31 at the moment for autism services.
I keep saying, Kieran, I should just have a few quid on myself on the side, shouldn't I? I'm doing all right. I have a few controversial ones this week, so I reckon I could be letting the side down this week. So you better step up your game, Kieran.
Yeah, I haven't chipped in yet, so hopefully this week I can get off the mark. But in terms of interviews tonight, folks, we've got some absolutely cracking interviews for you. Gary Shaw is going to join us to chat about his return to Bray Wanderers. He scored in the defeat to Cabinteely, and he's had a good chat with us about his career and particularly his time at Shamrock Rovers. Some really interesting stuff from Gary and what he's planning on doing when he does eventually step away from League of Ireland football. And we've also for the very first time got Chris Twardock on. I know this is one Bulls fans have been very excited about, so looking forward to bringing you those interviews. But John, let's start with the First Division review. Longford Town 2, Shamrock Rovers 2-0. That sounds strange, but 2-0 win for Longford, but wasn't overly convincing, was it?
No, and I think I probably got a bit overexcited just by the fact that it was first match that we actually went to get to see, and football's back for us. Thank goodness it's been such a long off season, and I suppose a couple of really good moves decided this game. Aidan Dervin with a lovely plate shot from the edge of the box, and a trademark Rob Manley header from not particularly far out. But unfortunately, this match was marred by a really bad injury to one of Longford's brightest talents, Dean Byrne.
Yeah, it's a season-ending injury for anyone that isn't aware. Unfortunately, Dean Byrne has suffered a broken ankle, and it's a severe break as well. So I highly doubt we're going to see him again this season. Myself and John pass our best wishes on to Dino. As you said, John, he really is a phenomenal talent, and he's had his injury issues in the past, and he's come back strong. And we all hope to see him back again in that red and black shirt soon. But aside from that, John, Shamrock Rovers too, they weren't terrible. I think they look stronger than the Rovers B team that were in the league in the past, and they probably should have scored in truth, shouldn't they?
They had a couple of good chances, didn't they? They had a header that kind of crashed off the bar, and
that was Armstrong.
Other decent chances apart from that. I thought for a first run out for an academy side, I think they did okay. I think, and I know there's so much controversy. You can read all the controversy you want online. We're not going to go through it all again tonight. But I thought they were decent, and I think they'll pick up a few points along the way this season. And I think they'll do okay this season.
Yeah, totally agree. I think they'll pick up points against the likes of Wexford Athlone and teams in the middle of the table, and who knows, they might even take a few scalps off the bigger sides along the way. But Longford, they'll be happy to get up and running. But as you said, that injury to Dean Byrne, that probably really took the steam out of the Longford engine towards the end, and they're heading to Drogheda now without Dean Byrne. And it's going to be interesting to see who steps in and if someone can step up to the mark. But look, an opening 3 points for Longford. We'll move on. Cove against Drogheda, this was a cruise job for Drogheda, really, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, 2-0, and it all eyes going to be on Chris Lyons this season, whether he can replicate the amount of goals he scored again. And he didn't let the side down on this one, did he? He got the opener, and a Sean Brennan penalty decided the match after Lee Devitt Malloy was sent off for Cove. So I think it could be a season of struggle for Cove, but already Drogheda looking quite strong.
Yeah, and you say there that Chris Lyons, obviously great to see him get up and running, and there'll be a lot of pressure on his shoulders again this year. But at the same time, Drogs, they really spread the goals around last year. Sean Brennan with a penalty against Cove, I think he got five or six last season. and they had plenty of players that chipped in throughout the team. So it's good to see that Drogs have got a couple of goals on the board already, and it's come from different sources once again. I think that'll be a trend again this year for Drogheda, and that's why they're my title favourites. I just think with Longford, if Rob Manley was now to get injured, touch wood, nothing like that will happen, but I'd be worried about where Longford's goals might come from. But Drogheda, if you look at the stats, they absolutely cruise to victory here. And it's great to see. I'm not sure if you've seen them, John, but the official league Twitter account now, they post up these graphics after the game with plenty of stats and the average positions of the players. It's been a great addition.
Yeah, no, I haven't actually seen that yet, Kieran.
Yeah, check them out. Very good. It gives you the possession stats, shots on goal, everything. Dundalk with 20 shots on goal against Cork in their 3-0 win on Monday night, so we'll be chatting about that shortly. Let's move on to...
You might need a good half an hour for me to cover Cork's defence, Kieran.
Let's move on to Wexford against UCD. You called this one, you said you wouldn't be surprised to see Wexford leave with something. Now, they did leave it late, but again, going back to those possession stats and everything that come out after the game, Wexford thoroughly deserving of the point here. They had more shots on goal than UCD in the end.
Yeah, I thought UCD would be a bit frosty to start off with because, I mean, the side's been decimated. But it was your one to watch, wasn't it? Who got the opener for UCD, Colm Whelan.
Yeah, I flagged him up as a potential Golden Boot challenger this year. And the other two obvious candidates, Manly and Lions for Drogheda and Longford, they both scored. Whelan's up and running. So a great start for the top men in the league this season.
Yeah, Connor English with the equaliser for Wexford. And like you say, it's probably a deserved point. And that's promising enough for Wexford this season, because I know a lot of people had them down as favourites for rock bottom.
Mm. Were you too busy nursing the hangover to look up the Wexford goal?
Sorry, Kieran, I just didn't catch that.
I said, were you too busy nursing the hangover to look up the Wexford goal?
Yeah, I haven't seen it, I have to say, Kieran.
Absolutely phenomenal strike from English, so do check that out when you get a chance, John. Jeez, you're really slacking this week, John. Let's move on to...
Oh, well, you know it. I was struggling after Saturday night, Kieran.
Yeah, too old. Let's move on to Cabo against Bray. 4-0 up early doors, Cabo. What a start to the season.
That was tough time, Kieran. 4-0. Yeah. Cabo were up on Bray, and, well, absolute shell shock for Gas Cronin and his side there. I don't think that was what was expected, but that have to be said, the weather was pretty horrendous in this one, and conditions made it very difficult, and... Yeah, Kieran Marty Waters and again on the score sheet. Labutis and Keith Dalton with a double to put them 4-0 up at half time. Bray got back into its second half. Sean Watson with efforts, but not enough.
Yeah, and I did point it out in the preview to this game last week, John, didn't I? The open elements of Stradbroke might play a role if we got the weather that we were expecting, and that weather most certainly did arrive, and the first two Cabinteely goals came from long throws. But that's no criticism of Cabinteely at all. Absolutely fantastic from them to use those elements to their advantage, and they took full advantage and were 4-0 up at the break, as you said. Bray had the win then in the second half. They got a couple of goals back, but Cabo, 4 goals in the first half, fully deserving of their win, and they might be a thorn in the side again for plenty of teams again this year.
Yeah, I think we sort of talked them down at the start in the last episode, didn't we? That they might struggle this season with a few of the more, you know, the central defenders and the players that they've lost, but that's a really promising start to the season.
Mm, and Marty Waters off to a flyer as well, a man that might need to chip in with plenty for Cabo with Manly now at Longford. But look, we're going to speak to Gary Shaw in the next couple of moments, but are Bray building us up to let us down again, John?
Oh, well, it's way too early to tell, Kieran, because, like I said, the conditions in that match were pretty diabolical, so I can forgive anybody for going to Cabo on a day like that and not turning up.
Fair enough. Let's move on and hear from Gary Shaw, folks. So he's back at Bray Wanderers for this season. He scored on his returning debut as well, and we're delighted to have him on the show. It's Gary Shaw. Gary, welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Yeah, thanks a million for having me, Kieran.
So, Gary, as I said, their second debut for Bray at the weekend, and obviously not the result you wanted, but you did get a goal, so you're up and running for the season.
Yeah, look, obviously, look, first and foremost, the result was not exactly ideal. 4-0 down at half-time, we were kind of in shock going in at the break, just wondering what exactly happened. It was kind of, you know, saying, was this real that we were 4-0 down? Obviously, we started a bit of a comeback in the second half. I got a goal, which was great to get for me. And, I just think that, look, the damage was done in the first half. And, look, conditions were obviously a massive factor. All around the league, you could see the types of conditions teams were playing in. And Strabog been open, and rugby been playing on all winter. Really, really tough conditions. So Cabin Healy took full advantage of that in the first half. And look, every goal is preventable. And we need to just look at those and what we need to do better. And we've been addressing that so far this week in training, because we need to get going. We don't be falling behind too early on this season. But obviously, it was nice to get off the mark in the first game of the season. And hopefully, I can continue that kind of form now going in, and we can correct those mistakes we made, because it just wasn't good enough from the team.
Yeah, and you've got Wexford this weekend. So without any disrespect to Wexford, you will be expected to win that one. There's a lot of pressure on this Bray team at times, because yourself, you're coming down from the Premier Division, you've brought in a few other high profile players, and there was a lot expected of Bray last year, and I think it's fair to say they probably didn't deliver. They missed out on the playoffs. So do you feel that pressure a little bit, especially after making such a slow start?
Yeah, look, it really does put you on the back foot now. You wouldn't even call it just such a slow start, just the manner that it was carried out, 4-0 down, it really, obviously the fans weren't happy at half time, and rightly so. So we do really need to come out and put a performance on and get the result, and that's the main thing. But then, look, we have to, as players, that's what we're employed to do with the club. And yeah, there's pressure in every game, and I suppose you'd be silly to be adding extra pressure to yourself, because that's what football's all about. It's about, those pressure moments, delivering at the right time and being able to handle it, because if you get caught up in all the external factors, then, you're playing the wrong game. So you really need to just knuckle down and do your job and what you're employed to do. And that's to perform on the pitch and win football matches. So that's what we'll be fully focused on.
And tell me, has Bray changed much in your opinion since you've been away? How have you found it returning?
Yeah, look, a lot's gone on in that club since I left in, I think, was it 2012, end of 2011, to now. A lot has happened, and obviously it has its controversies there for a few years, but the new owner, Niall Driscoll, has come in and he's cleaned up everything, and he's really got the community back in the club again, and he's got a great manager in Gary Perone, who obviously myself and yourself know very well.
Yeah.
And he's a great fella, and he's brought in a good coach and staff there. So, like you said there at the start, they were disappointing towards the end of last year. They've added a couple of decent players, myself included, in that. And really need to now just kick on and get the season going, because it's not a long season. It's a 27-game season. And if you start falling behind the first 3, 4, 5 games, you start running out of games towards the end. You're playing catch up, and you don't want to be doing that.
Yeah, and without naming names, did you have many options in the off season, or what was the main driving force behind your return to Bray?
Yeah, look, I suppose this season was my first real season to think, I suppose, outside of football as well, and about my own personal life. I've done a couple of interviews since the start of the season, and I just took everything into account. I have a 3-year-old now, and we're actually expecting another baby in the summer.
Well, congratulations.
I just wanted to take a step back from obviously the full-time side of things. I wanted to really get into the workforce. I don't have much experience, obviously, from playing full-time football, and I was just thinking more long-term, 3, 4, 5 years time, see how long the legs last. But I don't want to be going into, I suppose, entry-level jobs when I'm in my 30s. I'd like to be kind of established in some sort of position coming into those years when, I suppose, the family is grown and school starts kicking in and stuff like that. So, look, I'm just thinking more long-term in that sense. And I just felt that, going to a part-time club, now we say part-time, you're still training 4 nights a week, but going to the part-time club and being able to manage everything and thinking more long-term. But look, that doesn't, all those external factors don't stop me from fully focusing on football when I am playing and when I am training. So completely, I haven't taken my foot off the pedal in that sense, completely focused, and really am passionate still about playing in this league and playing for Bray. So I wouldn't be worried about that kind of, I suppose, is my commitment level gone? Absolutely not. It's probably, trying to push yourself even harder now, because I feel like I've a lot to prove, and I want to do well, because obviously people around Bray and the manager are expecting that from me. So that's really it.
Yeah, no, look, it's great to hear you're thinking about your future off the pitch, and you're obviously a well-known name in the league, so maybe when players like yourself come on to shows like this and talk about kind of things like that off the pitch, it might just make a few younger players around the league think of where they're going in years down the line. Is there much support off the pitch for players in your situation where you're trying to get into the workforce, you say?
There are bits and pieces now. The PFOI have employed, I forget her name off the top of my head, but the PFOI have a new lady in there that has come around to all the clubs, and she offers career guidance support on things outside of football, and you know, part-time courses and stuff like that you can get into. So there are bits and pieces that you can do, and the PFOI do have other bits and pieces that you can get involved in. But you take the example of, I suppose, Sean Russell last year, that, you know, your career can be over in a second, and just like that you're left in the big bad world, and you know, you mightn't have much experience. So look, I'm not saying that I'm planning for something bad to happen, but you know, you have to have, I suppose, that plan B. And I suppose with the experience I've had over, like, this is my 11th season now in the league, and you know, I'd see myself as one of the more experienced players, especially in the Bray team. And I just, obviously, like I said, I'm just thinking more long term as well, because football doesn't last forever. And at the same time, we're not paid the kind of money that the players in England are paid. So we have to have, like I said, the plan B to back us up. And at the end of the day, we all have families we go home to. We all have rent to pay, and we all have our own bills. So you have to take all that into consideration when you are, you know, deciding, I suppose, at the off season where you want to go and what you want to do. And it's not just my decision now, it's obviously my family's decision, what's best for them, and fits into the lifestyle that we have. So like I said, that it was great that Gary got onto me. He's been onto me a couple of years, and I always said, you know, towards the end, I suppose the latter stages, if it still was an option, I'd love to be able to play under Gary, because I got on great with him at Longford. So yeah, everything just kind of slotted in nicely, and I was really happy with the way things are, and the way things have gone so far. Take out the result on Friday. I've been really happy with how things have gone. So I'm in a happy place in my career at the moment, outside, off the pitch and on the pitch. So that's why I'm hoping that the form of scoring is going to continue for the rest of the season.
And 11 seasons experience, as you say there, in the League of Ireland, and they've come at all different levels. You started out as a youngster with Bray, you moved on to Longford, and you were part of a title winning team, and then you played in Europe with Shamrock Rovers as well, and you had a spell with St. Pat's. So overall, break down your career. How do you evaluate the experience you've picked up so far, and what's the, I suppose, the real highlight so far for you? Was it playing in Europe? Was it winning a first division? Or
yeah, look, I suppose when you look back at your career, and I'm not saying I'm finishing up at the end of the season. I don't want it to sound like that, but I'm, so far in my career, I've obviously winning trophies is the big thing you look at. You know, people ask you, what did you win, and it's funny, you see, like, not many players win many trophies, obviously, unless you've been with Dundalk the last couple of years. But it's great to look back and have that medal there from 2014, and such a great group of players that got to know so well, because we, you know, tried and failed on a couple of occasions. But to get over the line in 2014 was brilliant, and really a special night in Longford that night when we won the league. Obviously, going on from that then, you know, I got to experience full-time football, and I always said I'd love to be a full-time footballer. So I've had four years of that, playing with Rovers and Pats. And look, playing in Europe is a fantastic experience as a player, getting to go abroad, playing in different countries, different styles of play, and then obviously getting scoring in Europe as well. It's a great feeling personally, and then, you know, you pick up player of the year that year with Rovers. And you know, I suppose Rovers is just, it's a different club than anyone else. It really is. When you're doing well at Shamrock Rovers, you feel like you're on top of the world, and I really do mean that. It's a great club to be doing well at. And obviously, when things aren't going well, it's a tough club to be at. It's a lot of pressure on you. But when you are going well, it's brilliant to be there, and to pick up player of the year that year really was a career highlight for me so far. And obviously then, look, I've had my injuries, and I suppose the big one was my arm break in 2017. I really felt that put me back a lot of steps, when I felt that I was going to kick on the following season. That arm break really took its toll, and I don't think people around really knew how bad it was. It's easy to cover up and pretend that things are okay because I'm out on the pitch and running around, but you know, inside I know that I'm not fully fit, and I'm way off the pace because of how bad the arm break was. And I really do, that's one of my biggest regrets now looking back. It's just such a simple thing that happened in my career that I'm kind of always wondering, what if that didn't happen, how good would 2018 have been? Because I had full backing from the manager that year and all of the Rovers players, because I really thought I was going to kick on, but it just didn't happen, and I know exactly why. And it was an easy decision towards the end of that season, and then obviously you go to Pats and you just can't get going again. It's kind of coming from, you know, the peak to kind of nearly the bottom of the mountain then, just in such a short space of time. And that's really, it was a shot of confidence. And then you come around to Bray again. I really thought that coming here and trying to get the confidence back up, and obviously scoring then the first game of the season really gets you going and kickstarts what you wanted to do a couple of seasons ago. So I've been playing catch up for a while the last couple of seasons, but I've really enjoyed my last 10 seasons. It's been, you know, there's been highs and lows, and I feel like that I've given everything and been an honest player so far, and I'm hoping to continue that and see how long the legs last, and hopefully that the injuries are that's them done and dusted for now. So yeah, I'm looking forward to what's ahead, and see how long I can last in the league.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to keep you too much longer, Gary. You've been very good and honest with your time, but you go back to the arm break there, and I seem to you were in flying form at the time of Shamrock Rovers, and I seem to remember there was a lot of reports at the time linking you with moves to the likes of Scotland. Do you feel that was probably on the cards, only for that didn't happen?
Yeah, I remember that season. I remember just things just took a complete turn. I remember kind of after Europe, towards, you know, kind of August, September, I was constantly getting phone calls from agents in England going to be going to here, there. I was a striker in form. I was in double figures, and I was 25, 26 at the time. So, you know, clubs were interested. I had a couple of managers come over and watch me. I remember that I think it was a couple of clubs in Scotland were over watching us again, watching me against Dundalk, the one I scored in, and there was a couple of clubs in from me, and then obviously the arm break happens, and then you just nothing, you know, you hear nothing then, and that's just the way football goes. It's a rootless game, and you just kind of, like I said, you go from that kind of, you know, you go from top of the mountain to the bottom just in a split second, from a nothing cross into the box to a defender falling through your arm and snapping into six pieces. And, you know, that's the next 2 years of your career just kind of shattered just like that. So, yeah, look, it's something I've had to deal with, and people will ask what happened, this and that and all. They'll have their questions, and, you know, I'm not one for making excuses. You probably know yourself, I'm probably one of the most honest players you'll play against. And that's just how football goes, unfortunately. And like I said, I just want to get back going now and really get back scoring goals and get back to that, I suppose, 2017 form, because I was loving football at that time. And if I can get back to what it was like then I think that I can do really well for Bray and really help them to push for the league.
Yeah, look, you're playing down in Longford in a couple of weeks, so we'll see how honest you are then. But Gary, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. Thanks very much for your time, and best wishes for the rest of the season.
Thanks a million for having me. We'll see you soon.
For all your industrial equipment, compressed air, vacuum, automation, mechanical and engineering needs, check out flowmax.ie, proud sponsors of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Moving on to the Premier Division, John. Sligo Rovers 0, St Pat's 2. I think we both called this one, didn't we?
We did indeed, yeah. You know my concerns for Sligo this season. And, yeah, it was just underlined in the performance against Pats here. I mean, Pats played well, but Sligo were just... They made their own downfall, Kieran, and it was an awful mistake that let Ronan Hale in, and he was given all the time in the world to cut inside and curl the ball in to make it 1-0. And the second goal, again, such lacklustre defending from Sligo. There was no urgency to stop the cross coming in, and Forrester seemed to have all the time in the world in the box to turn and put the ball in for 2-0. It was, it was really, really poor defending, and... Lee Desmond had a great chance. He hit the bar after Sligo again. Poor defending. They give the ball away. I think that for me, the story about this, yeah, Pats were decent, but the defending, Kieran, it was amateurish. We wouldn't have seen it in our under-15 league in Longford. It was really bad.
No, I'm not sure. I think I remember us losing a few games by double digits. But you're focusing on the Sligo defending, John. I want to focus on the Sligo attacking, because it's been absolutely non-existent in three games. They haven't scored a goal yet this season. And in truth, they haven't looked like scoring a goal, have they?
No, No, they haven't. It looks really poor, and you know, you think of the threat they've had in the past with the likes of Mikey Drennan, and you know, they have had, you know, some potent attackers up that way, but you're really struggling to see where the goals are coming from. And combine the inability to score with a defence that's making such horrendous errors, and you know, you see why they're my favourites to go down.
Yeah, and they've signed a New Zealand international this week. To be honest, don't know a lot about him, but having a look at his goal stats, I'm not exactly sure if that's going to be the answer. We know Liam Buckley said in the off-season they were shopping far and wide to try and get a striker, and it was proving a difficult task, and I wonder if this just shouts of a desperation call now at this stage.
Well, couldn't have gone much farther and wider, could he? I mean, let's not forget as well, Sligo were up against 10 men for the guts of 20 minutes, but they offered so little as an attacking force that, you know, I'm not surprised that Buckley's gone out and got somebody in, although that's probably been in the pipeline for a while, that one.
Yeah, you'd imagine so. Just on St. Pat's, Forrester's the name you mentioned. Great second goal, took it really well. Defending was dreadful, but it was a real classic Chris Forrester goal. And he didn't play in the first game for St. Pat's, and he's been brought back in now by Stephen O'Donnell, and he's got an instant reaction out of him. And O'Donnell just, he shouts out to you as the type of manager that could be a really good manager. And if he can get anything like near the best out of Forrester, he'd be like a new signing for Pats this season.
Absolutely, yeah, because we know Forrester on his game is one of the best players in the league. So if he can get the performances out of Forrester that we haven't seen over the last year or so, then, you know, Pats are gonna surprise a few, and they could well be up there, Kieran.
I'd still worry about the lack of a clinical striker there, though, John.
Yeah, well, they're going to be relying on goals from Forrester.
Yeah, Forrester's going to have to play his part.
Across the team. Sorry?
Forrester will have to play his part.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, yeah, if you're concerned about where the goals are coming from, then, you know, you're looking to those advanced midfielders to get a few, aren't you?
Let's move on to Tolka Park. Shells, they put the pressure on late against Dundalk, but Dundalk ended the game with six defenders on the pitch, so that probably says a bit about Shelburne and how they performed in this one, but it was the champions that ran out 2-1 winners in the end.
Yeah, and it looked a great atmosphere, I have to say, in this one, and it wasn't too dulled neither by Dundalk scoring early on with Andy Boyle. He opened the scoring from a corner. I have to say, it was poor defending from Shells from a set piece. That is something they're going to have to really go away and work on. Kilduff nearly equalised, of course. He was inches away from connecting with a cross to make it 1-1. Hooman made it 2-0 from a floated free kick. Deegan pulled one back. It was a lovely strike, actually.
Cracker.
When a corner was cleared to him. And like I say, he just caught it perfectly to make it 2-1. Could have had an equaliser, Shells. Rogers blocked an effort from Shepherd at the end. What do you think on balance? Just Dundalk edged it, although good comeback from Shells.
Yeah, that was a strange save by Rogers. It was like when you're playing AstroTurf and you don't want to get the hands dirty, you just come out with the boot. But look, he's got the ball away, and that's all that matters. But yeah. I just think when you defend a couple of set pieces like that, you can have absolutely no complaints when you leave with nothing in the end. The two goals Shelburne conceded were absolutely dreadful. I mean, Deegan's strike is absolutely phenomenal, and if that doesn't go in, Dundalk probably end up cruising it to a 2-0 win in the end. But when Shells got that goal, they put the pressure on late on, and Vinnie Perth reacted by throwing on an extra couple of defenders. But Dundalk get the 3 points, and I think you'd have to say they probably deserved it in the end.
What did you make of Shells' midfield? I know you were thinking that they might be a little bit sluggish, you know, with Deegan only just coming back and pointing there, Kieran. Is it going to be their weak link maybe this season?
Yeah, I think I might have pointed this out in pre-season, John, on one of the shows when we were discussing Shells and the fact I'd seen them in pre-season. I just think the middle two, they don't look very mobile. Deegan, as you said, he's coming back from England. He's kind of regaining his fitness a little bit. I think Georgie Poynton looks way, way off the pace. I'd question whether he should be a Premier Division player at this rate. I think Shells can probably do better there. I would worry about their mobility in midfield.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to pick up the defending as well, or else it could be tough for them on their return to the top league, Kieran.
Look, again, I think we're repeating ourselves every week. I think Shells are going to be absolutely fine in terms of survival, but you can't defend set pieces like this, especially against one of the top teams, if not the top team in the country.
Yeah, no, you can't defend like that against as the champions, you're quite right. You know, to give well, basically gifted them a goal or two, which you can't do and expect to get anything out of the match.
Let's move on to Derry Harps. Surprising result this one, perhaps. Derry first, they performed really well in Oriel Park, and first home game in front of a big crowd, and they have a great record against Harps, as we know, at the Brandywell. They would have been expected to win this one, but we were both chatting after the game, and what was really noticeable was how well Harps pressed the ball.
Yeah, we were both impressed by that, weren't we? The pressure game that Harps played, and it's quite clear to me there's no way they'll be that bottom, as some predicted. They look lively, they're pressing, and they give Derry a real shock in this one. I have to say, the man you were talking about last week, Nielsen, he looks like a decent signing. Great strength, he looks very intelligent with his runs, Kieran.
Yeah, I totally agree. Early doors in the game, there was a ball played in behind, and he pulls it down and gets a shot away very, very quickly. Now, it's an easy save in the end for the goalkeeper, but it just shows that he's a quick thinker and an intelligent footballer, and I do expect him to get off the mark very soon.
Yeah, I'm like a broken record. I have a horrific defending, but, oh, Cole, what was he thinking with the back pass? Ryan Connolly opened the scoring after that. And where was Cherry?
This is something I want to talk to you, John.
Went towards the corner.
Yeah, like, no, this is Connolly, something... This is something I want to talk to you about. Peter Cherry, his positioning down the year, this has always been something that's been very noticeable with Peter Cherry. He loves to stand outside of the post, and he makes a couple of saves every now and again that just yell out to me that they're real camera saves. He's doing it for the cameras. Now, I'm not suggesting that is the case, but he makes some very dramatic saves at times, and the way he positions himself outside the post, I've seen him getting caught on a number of occasions doing this. I do not understand his positioning in that situation at all.
For me, if you're a goalkeeper, what are you doing out there? I mean, your job is to stop the ball going in the net. So, you know, to be wandering towards the corner flag when possession's given away is just ridiculous. That's really not good enough, is it?
Yeah, no, you'd imagine the goalkeeping coach should be looking at that and having a word. But as you said, it was Cole to put them in that position in the first place. It was an absolutely dreadful pass to make. Perhaps he forgot he was playing for Derry and thought he was back with Harps. But Connolly took it well. What did you make of him? He's a player that's had his injury issues in recent seasons.
Yeah, I watched the match, Kieran. I thought he had a good game, and they gave him man of the match there as well. So, like I said, I know you weren't too overexcited by his return to the league, but I thought he did well.
Yeah, just keeping him fit is going to be the issue, I'd imagine.
Well, that's it. He's got a good engine, you know. So once he gets to full fitness, he'll give Harps. It's obvious what kind of game they're trying to play, isn't it? It's all action, all press. Pressurise the defence, get them to make mistakes. So, Connolly's going to be a good bustling midfielder for them.
And Connolly aside, you make the point there that it is all action. It's pressing, it's harrying the opposition. Harps are still a part-time team in this league, we have to remember. Can they keep that type of football style up all season long, or are we going to eventually see fatigue set in?
Well, we saw that a few seasons ago, didn't we, when they got relegated. But, It's we don't know, do we? We don't know, but it is a high tempo, high press game. It's going to be tiring. They just don't want any injuries to key players, that's for sure.
And they got a rest Monday night because their game was postponed, and they head down to Cork now. So that's probably worked out okay in the end, to be truthful. And I'd imagine we'll see that exact style of football against Cork. They'll really be looking to get in to the Cork players' faces and force mistakes. And we know how fragile that Cork defence is at the moment, but from a Derry point of view, 1 point from two games, performances have been okay. I'm sure the quicker they can get 3 points on the board, the better from Declan Devine's point of view.
Yeah, well, they could have won this, to be honest, Kieran. I mean, Clifford hit the crossbar after good work from Figuera, and great footwork. Did you see towards the end? They set the goal up for Little, but
phenomenal.
The footwork was amazing to set it up, the equaliser.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant play, and he has stood out in the first couple of games for Derry alongside Nielsen. So again, I don't think there's anything to worry about at Derry. They've been handed a tough start, going to Oriel, then playing a derby, and now they go and they host Bohemians on Friday night. So it's a really tough start for them, and the quicker they get 3 points on the board, the better. Let's move on to Waterford against Bowes. Yeah. Waterford were looking to double up after that great opening weekend win against Pats, but it wasn't to be. Bowes, good win for them after suffering that Dublin derby defeat.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to say, Waterford, I thought they'd be a bit inconsistent. A lot of signings, and Bowes played well in this one. Ward forced a good early save, and then the opener came from, an own goal, a bit of a disaster for Sam Bone. He headed into his own net from Chris Twardek's cross, who we're going to have on the show later. Yep. So I'm looking forward to that. And it was Twardek who set up the second, really. He pulled the ball back. Allardyce brought Mandrew down, and he stepped up to take the penalty to make it 2-0. It was a deserved win for Bowes. I don't think Water would offer too much on that match, Kieran, did you?
No, just on the own goal for Bowen, it's hard to be critical because, again, it was a very, very windy night. The rain was blowing into his face, and Twardek floated one in there, and the wind has grabbed it a little bit, and he's just trying to get something on it and get it away for a corner, and he ends up heading it into his own net, and from there Waterford panic a little bit. They give away that penalty, and once Bowes go 2-0 up, they're not looking back. I don't think there's a lot more we can really say on that game, so let's move on to a game you have plenty to say about.
Well, there is one thing, Kieran. I have an issue, and it should be an automatic red card. McGuinness, 99 on his back. Come on. In my world, that's a sending off offence.
Okay. I was waiting. I thought that was something really serious for a moment, but it's just one of your John Breyer moments. And we might get
serious
a
to me, Kieran.
We might get a couple of John Breyer moments here. Rover 6, Cork 0. John, take us through this.
I don't know where to start, Kieran. I mean, Cork started okay. They had a couple of, you'd say, half chances. Deshaun Dowling, I think I'm pronouncing that completely wrong, obviously, but he shot over. The goal really at his mercy. He should have opened the score in that.
Yeah.
And McGlade had an effort that was saved, but I'm afraid after that, that's as good as it got. And the defending, goodness gracious, Kieran, we could be on a while here.
Yeah.
Shocking touch from Alou for the first. The ball bounced to Burke, who made it 1-0. I mean, all the plaudits for Graham Burke. And to be fair, you know, 5 goals is fantastic, but you couldn't ask for more of a gimme in this one. He's got the second after more abysmal defending. Cork went down to 10 when Dowling two-footed. It was a hack, really, Kieran.
Shocking.
And that was just before half time. Burn shot to make it 3-0. Keeper, he's let that through his hands.
Yeah.
It was just, that's a really poor effort. 4-0, Ferrugia, he had the freedom of Dublin down that wing, didn't he? Good work from Ferrugia, set up Burke to make it 4. That was his hat trick. 5-0, a deflected effort. Again, 6-0 Burke. I'd never seen such an abysmal defensive display, Kieran, and I've been watching League of Ireland for a time now.
Yeah.
The two centre-backs, look, they'd never played football before, Kieran. It was rubbish.
Well, I know you see my tweet during the week, John, about Cork, when they named their team in Oriel Park, and I was taking a close look at it, and I just said to myself, this team really does just scream out that it's been thrown together on a shoestring budget.
We said it before the season, didn't we? That team showed a completely different budget to what they've had in the past. You know, you think back to Caulfield's teams, and that's not long ago, Kieran.
No.
The stars they had in their side, and now I'm afraid, well, it's just, it looks like it's going to be a real, Fenn's really up against it with that squad. He's going to have a massive job ahead of him.
Yeah, obviously it's only come out in the last couple of days really how severe the financial situation was at Cork before the season started. They were reportedly a couple of hours away from going out of business, and that, because I remember raising this with you at the start of the season, John, they had brought in so many new players that have absolutely no experience in the League of Ireland. Would it have not been better for Cork to go out and get a couple of, you know, run-of-the-mill League of Ireland players and at least try and set up a solid kind of foundation to work off, as opposed to bringing in players that have no League of Ireland experience and take a few hammerings early on like we thought would happen when we seen their fixtures? And as you said it there, that opening goal, it just set the tone for the whole night. Why is the centre-half not putting his boot through that ball out for a throw-in? He's trying to take a touch in his own box with Graham Burke, one of the quickest and most lethal finishers in the league, standing a couple of yards away from him. It's a great finish from Burke, but it's been absolutely handed to him on a play, and I really, really feel fear for this Cork side.
Well, it was just the basics that got completely wrong, wasn't it? It was their positioning as a defensive line was poor, and the closing down was non-existent. So, you know, Mr. Fenn, he's got a lot of work to do on the training pitch, hasn't he?
He really has. And again, they're a side that haven't scored a goal, let alone the goals they've conceded. They're struggling to create. They're leaking goals at the other end. Themselves and Sligo have really been the standout poor sides in the opening couple of weeks.
There are some signs. There's some small signs that Cork, you know, then Dylan McGlade looked okay. You know, I don't think he's done too much wrong. But apart from that, there's not a lot right to write to him about.
Again, John,
Cork fans.
I'd question how much he's going to work for the team. You said he's done okay. He's got a couple of shots away and a couple of nice runs, beat a couple of players, but. I was watching the game Monday night in Oriel, and there was times where he just let his man breeze by him. And I mean, if you're going to be in a relegation dogfight, which Cork clearly are, you're going to have to roll your sleeves up and do the dirty stuff as well. And we know McGlade is a player that doesn't like to do that side of the game. He's going to have to learn very quickly, and his teammates around him are going to have to learn very quickly, because this could get very nasty very quickly for Cork.
They've hot Harps at home, haven't they, their next fixture, so... You know, they'll be looking at that.
It's massive.
It's a long journey for Harps. So they'll be thinking, if there's any match that we can get something on the board, it's this one.
Yeah, well, like what we just said a couple of moments ago, Harps, we know what Harps are going to do when they go down there. They're going to get right in the Cork players' faces from the kickoff. They're going to try and bully them. And the way Cork have played and performed in the first couple of games, if Harps can get an early goal, anything could happen there. Look, let's move on before all the Cork listeners tune out, but I hope that they'd agree that we're trying to be fair about this and we're not just taking points here for the sake of it, but Cork have been absolutely abysmal in them first couple of games, but the fixture list certainly hasn't been kind to them. We'll move on to the next one, and that was the Monday night game, Waterford 0, Shamrock Rovers 2, back-to-back 2-0 home defeats for Waterford.
Yeah, an own goal, and Reece Marshall with his first goal for Rovers. Rovers, they're certainly setting a decent pace at the start of the season, Kieran.
Yeah, I think they've been more impressive than Dundalk in the way they've won their games. And they made six changes on Monday night, and they still absolutely cruised to victory here. Own goal early doors, then Marshall scores an absolutely beautiful goal on his first competitive start for Shamrock Rovers, and there's a red card then as well, and Rovers, they just there was a fear for a couple of minutes that maybe they were going to go and get four or five again after that six on Friday night, but no, really impressive from Rovers so far, and it's all systems go for Friday night.
Kieran, talk to me about Waterford. What have you made of their start to the season? Lots of signings in, you know, but it's not been that great to start, has it?
I think it's very clear early on that that Murphy is going to be crucial for them in goals, because all the games they've played so far, I've seen opposition fans tweeting and saying that how good Murphy has been, and it could have been more only for him. And we know what happened against Pats. You know, they deserved it thoroughly. Waterford, Pats were poor on the night, but Murphy did have to make a couple of really good saves, so he's going to be key. Aside from that, again, they're another side. I'd worry if there's going to be enough goals in the team. They've lost Figuera, who's gone to Derry and been really impressive. Michael O'Connor's come back from Lingfield, but he's never been a consistent player in the league. I just have a few concerns for Waterford, but I mean, when you compare what they've done to start their season to what Cork and Sligo have done, then they look absolutely fine, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. It's a funny one, Michael O'Connor, you know, because he's been looked at by a fair few clubs and linked with clubs, but for me, he's never really, you know, proven prolific and wherever he's played, has he?
Yeah, I think a lot of that is down to attitude, John. I think he'd probably admit himself he hasn't made some of the best decisions down the line. So you'd love to see him, you know, get a couple of goals and get up and running. I mean, Stephen Kenny obviously rates him if he had him in the under-21 squad not so long ago, but I think he knows himself. He's definitely made a few mistakes along the way.
Look, we all make mistakes in life, Kieran. It's how we bounce back. So hopefully he can get a few goals for Waterford and really get going for this season.
Let's move on to Cork once again. 3-0 win for Dundalk. And I couldn't believe it when I was reading online. I couldn't make the game I was working, but I watched it online. And you could notice straight away the atmosphere was totally dead in Oriel Park. A far cry from the games against Cork of just a couple of years ago, but even at 2-3-0 up, there was people in the main stand moaning because there was passes going backwards. I mean, what do Dundalk supporters expect? Are they looking for them to score 10 goals in every game? Let them come down and watch Longford Town for a couple of seasons and then they'll soon be moaning.
Well, they've been spoiled, haven't they?
That's the problem.
But I mean, 3-0 against Cork, they'd have bitten your arm off a couple of seasons ago for that, so I think there just needs to be a bit of realism that they're not going to win every match 6-7-0, and it's still a very, very, very good result against Cork, no matter what Cork side it is that turns up. And our old friends Duffy and Hooban with the goals for Dundalk and a great strike from Jordan Flores.
An absolute screamer from Flores. We all know he has that in the locker, but I seen James Rogers tweet it before the game that the last game in Shells was the first time Flores had put back-to-back starts together for Dundalk, and he's gone and he scored a goal here. So he's starting to finally get a run of games now, and if he can stay fit, he's got the potential to be one of the best midfielders in the league.
Yeah, I think I said in the last show that this could be his real breakthrough season, and yeah, great to see him with that strike.
Yeah, and we'll be previewing the big game Friday night very shortly, Rovers against Dundalk. Moving on to the final Monday night game, Bowes 2, Sligo 0.
Sligo's woes continue, Kieran, as Mandrew and Chris Twada get the goals for Bowes. It's going to be a long season for them. No goals, as we've said before, and a defence that's leaking goals for fun.
Yeah, and like we said about Forrester a little bit earlier on, how he wasn't in the first team of the season. He's come back and he's got a goal and he's looking at him old self. Mandrew was the same. He was excluded from that Dublin derby and everyone was shocked by that, but he didn't have a good pre-season. I seen him in action against Longford and he was very poor on the night, and from speaking to people at Bowes, he didn't have a good pre-season, so they weren't surprised to see him drop for the big game, although he does have a good record in them Dublin derby, so it probably still was a surprise to some. But he's come back in, so good bit of man management there from Keith Long, and with Corcoran been out, they're going to need Mandrew to chip in, just like Forrester will need Pats will need Forrester to chip in.
Yeah, I like Mandrew, Kieran. I think he's going to be a real talent, so I'll be interested. I was maybe surprised in a way he didn't actually get a move, you know, the close season, because he's under 21 international.
Yeah.
He's going to be a great player, so but I think another season at Bowes will definitely serve him well. Sorry, Bowes fans, I'm not trying to sell him from under your noses, but I think he's one definitely destined for bigger and better things.
Yeah, and one who might be destined for bigger and better things as well is Chris Twardak. He's been really eye-catching in his first couple of appearances for Bowes, and we're going to hear from the man himself now. He joins us on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Okay, folks, I'm delighted to say we're joined for the very first time on Between the Stripes LOI podcast by Chris Twardak, the new signing at Bohemians, and he's got his life with the Gypsies off to an absolute flyer in recent weeks. Chris, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, Chris, I suppose you're one of the more interesting characters in the league, really, because League of Ireland fans, there's nothing they love more than a player that's got a couple of international caps to his name. You've got two international caps for Canada, but you also had underage caps for the Czech Republic. So just tell us a little bit about your backstory, if you don't mind.
Well, my dad's from Czech Republic, so naturally there was always the ties to both national teams, the Canadians and the Czechs. So I was 17 at the time in Millwall, and it was going well there in the youth team. And I, out of the blue, kind of got a Czech national team call-up. And from there, I spent 3 years, 17s, 18s, and 19s with the Czechs. And it was just like, it was a class experience. You know, didn't speak the language fully. You know, it was a completely different style of play, the Czech system to the way Millwall played at the time. And then obviously after that, joined the Canadian setup from 20s and into the men's team as well.
And tell us, who did your couple of Canadian caps come against?
They were against, the first one was El Salvador in America, and there was probably more than 12,000 El Salvador fans there, even though it wasn't even in the country. And then the second one was in Spain, kind of behind closed doors against New Zealand.
Okay. And tell us, how did Sligo Rovers, how did that come about, that move? You were on loan out with Carlisle from Millwall, and then you joined Sligo in 2018.
Yeah, you know, it was an odd time for me, a big transition period. I was just finishing my loan at Carlisle, and I was all under the impression I was getting a new deal at Millwall, and then, you know, things changed in football very quickly, and I was out of contract, needed a place to be, and injured at the same time. So, you know, it's kind of a dangerous spot to be in, and so from there, I had an under 23 call up to the Canadian squad at the Toulon tournament. And, you know, we were there, and I was looking for my best options, and I was exploring. And then I just said to myself, you know, the interest came in from Sligo, and it was an 18-month deal, and I felt, you know, I could bide my time the first 6 months, kind of get over the ankle injury, and then hopefully crack on the next season. And it kind of worked out along those lines to an extent. So that's kind of what appealed me most to coming to Sligo.
And did you have any idea about Irish football at the time, about the League of Ireland? And aside from off the, on the field matters, how did you settle in off the pitch when you eventually did move to Ireland?
I knew a little bit about the league because I lived with an Irish boy, Paul Rooney. He actually came through some of the youth teams at Bohemians and I think St. Pat's as well. So we were both together at Millwall, and he talked to me about the league a bit, and I didn't know too much, but from what I did know, it was kind of an interesting setup. You know, there's 10 teams, you play each team quite a bit. You know, there's some European places up for grabs, and it's just kind of interesting. You know, it was a change of scenery that I thought was going to be good at the time for me. So that's what I knew about the league. And then in terms of settling in, I moved over with my girlfriend, and it made the transition a lot smoother. You know, having somebody that you know and can rely on a bit in a new setting, that helped a lot.
And as we said, a move to Bowes in the off season. What was the main factor behind joining the Dalymount Park side?
The European place is the obvious answer. That's an appealing to any player, I think. Those games are priceless and something you'll look back on in your career and just be a fantastic memory. So that was the main factor. And then obviously just from having played the club and seeing the fans and the stadium and speaking to Keith Long, it all kind of made a... culminated to what I thought would be a good move.
And tell us this, Chris, how does playing in front of 12,000 El Salvador fans compare to playing in a Dublin derby?
Well, you know what, honestly, they're both kind of unique to their own way. You know, in the El Salvador fans, you had drums banging, and you know, it was in a hot Houston, Texas weather, and it was just kind of special in its own regard. But the Dublin derby was class, and I knew it would be, so it was a special game to play in.
Yeah, and obviously a disappointing start, but the conditions that day, I think it's one of them games you really just have to scratch off and move on, because it was really difficult conditions to play in. And since then, Bowes have recovered really well with back-to-back wins. So you must be pleased overall with how the season's started, and your own performances as well have been quite eye-catching as well.
Well, I think the obvious thing in the first game was that the conditions were going to be terrible, but I think that there was obviously some positives to take away from it as well. You know, yeah. There wasn't a huge difference between either team, and I think that obviously, you know, you see that we lose the game, but obviously it's a last minute goal, and then if it had just ended a draw, you know, you start the season with 7 points, and I think everybody would be very happy with that. So I think there's been positives to take away from each game, and obviously things you can kind of learn from in each game as well. But I think, you know, just having seen the preseason here and what we've done in the first few matches, I think that there's it's a really promising group, and I think that we could have a positive season.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Bowes, they'll be playing in Europe this season. Derry, another team that qualified for Europe last term, and you head to them this weekend. Always a difficult place to go, Derry.
Yeah, we found it difficult last season with Sligo. We didn't do too well. I think looking back at it, we might have scored one or maybe even no goals against Derry last season. And you know, I think we lost both away from home. So, you know, it's obviously a different test playing with Bowes this time. But Derry's is going to be a good side no matter what. And I think, you know, we'll still look for 3 points on the day. I think we back ourselves and believe that we can really give any team in the league a good game.
Yeah, you got yourself up and running in terms of goals for Bowes against Sligo during the week. What was that like as an experience?
Well, the whole experience was kind of unusual. I never really played against a former team before, and you know, on the day it was a rough game. You know, a few fouls on myself, and it was just kind of a high emotion game, and it was getting really kind of edgy towards the end. So just the late relief of a goal and to be involved in it was special.
Mm. And overall, how have you found the League of Ireland since you settled in? Do you think the standard's quite high compared to what you would have played in the past?
Well, it's an interesting league. You know, there's like Dundalk's very good, and I think that you kind of see the whole league itself is quite even, and most teams can beat each other, which is always exciting. I've been impressed with it, and I think that it might not actually get the respect that it deserves. Mm. Sometimes, you know, you sometimes hear people from England, and I don't think that they would probably acknowledge it as high as it probably should be. And you know, like you said, there's new European places, and with 4 European places out of 10 teams, it's a massively appealing league, I think.
Yeah,
and that's what ultimately attracted me. So I think it's a good standard. And you know, I played with Carlisle in League Two, and I don't think there's much difference between the two, and yeah.
And we are seeing more overseas players like yourself coming into the league, and there's plenty of players on loan from England this year as well. So that can only improve the league, really, can't it?
Yeah, for sure. And I think sometimes you see that, and for myself as well. You know, I first came into the league, and you know, I came through a bit of an injury at the start, so it wasn't going to be a case of thriving. But even at the beginning of last season, you know, Sligo, we didn't start too well, and you know, myself, I didn't have the biggest of impacts right off the get go. So you know, it kind of took time to get adjusted into the league, and because it's a very physical, very kind of rough league, and there's also lots of quality as well. So I think, you know, now that I'm settled from a personal perspective, I think you know, I'm really enjoying it. But I think again, it would surprise a lot of people coming in, and you know, they might not thrive as much as they think they would right off the get go.
Yeah, and look, finally, obviously you're very focused on Bohemians at the moment and doing as well as you can for your new club, and particularly I'm sure you'd love to stand out in some of them European games when they do come around. But long term, what's the goal for Chris Twardek? Would it be a move back to England, or maybe would you like to head to somewhere like the MLS or into Europe?
Well, you know what, like you said, I'm focused on right now, but I think the near future, I'd be very interested in hoping to get back into the Canadian fold, and with the Olympics coming up, that could be something that's an outlet for myself, and hopefully the men's team, and over the next near future with the Canada having a joint ownership of the World Cup coming up. So that's all exciting for on the home end of things. But I've always said in my career, I kind of follow whatever's best in time, and you know, last season I did expect that I was going to go back to kind of North America and play, or perhaps somewhere else in Europe. But ultimately, you know, things change, and I'm back in Ireland and enjoying it.
And just on the English experience you had with Minwall and Carlisle, did you find the English football suited your technical style of football? Because it is a debate we have here a lot in Ireland about some of our more technical players, that they go to England, the likes of McElhenney from Dundalk and Jamie McGrath recently gone over to Scotland. They don't always stand out then when they go to England, because at that lower league, League 1, League 2, it can be a very direct and rough and tumble style of football.
Well, my first experience was 18, and I was in the conference at Braintree, and you know, it's a tough kind of slog sometimes, you know, being in conditions like that, you know, very direct, long in the air for long periods, and it does become a bit of a fight, and you know, like you said, good players can go missing. So I think that once you kind of get into League One, that the quality is quite high, and I think that it would actually impress a lot of people, the level of League One. But I do agree with what you're saying. You know, it is a tough scenario to sometimes thrive when it does become a bit of a fight.
Chris, been absolutely brilliant speaking to you. Thanks very much for joining us, and we'd all love to see you get another cap for the Canadian side.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by BarwinRacing.com. Check out our website for weekly League of Ireland previews, enhanced offers and double the odds first goal score matches, among other incentives, with a €30 free bet available to new customers. T's and C's apply. Barwon Racing, nobody does League of Ireland better.
Okay, John, let's move on to the big one. They're expecting a record turnout at Talla Stadium on Friday. It's the top two of last season, Rovers against Dundalk. Tell us what way you see this going.
Well, I think it's not too far from a sellout. I think one of the stands is sold out already, Kieran. So, I mean, that's a great sign. And, you know, it'd be great to see that stadium full for a start, wouldn't it? And this is going to be a cracker, isn't it? Rovers, Dundalk. And it's really hard to separate them. They both had perfect starts, full points from the matches they've got. No Graham Burke in this one, I believe.
You took the words out of my mouth. The only thing we haven't mentioned so far on the show, Graham Burke reported to be out for 3 weeks with just a bit of a niggling injury. And I wonder, does that just tip the scale slightly more towards Dundalk? Because before I heard that news today, I was fully adamant Shamrock Rovers were going to win this game. I just think they've been more eye-catching, more fluid in their first couple of games. Dundalk, they've stuttered, they've got the job done, but they really can't afford a slow start this year. And handing 3 points to Shamrock Rovers here definitely wouldn't be ideal. I think both teams probably would be happy to leave with a point. But in saying that, this time last year, they met very early on in the Talla Stadium. It was a dreadful 0-0 draw, and Dundalk were really poor that night. And I just felt Shamrock Rovers sat back and were happy to accept the point. And they probably should have gone and really pushed on for the 3 points that night to send out an early message. They didn't do it. And I just think that maybe there's a little bit more onus on Rovers to try and win this one to send out a real message.
Yeah, I don't think Mr. Bradley will be very happy with a point at home against Dundalk. I think he'll be going for all three here. I know it's early doors, but they've looked really good so far, haven't they, Rovers? It's so difficult to, you know, hazard a guess what it's going to be. It's going to be very, very close. There's only going to be one goal in it, I think. Mm. I think Rovers might edge it, Kieran.
Let's take Burke out of the team and let's throw Rory Gaffney in for his debut. Would that make you more inclined to go for a Shamrock Rovers win, or is it still much of the same?
Yeah, Rory. Well, I don't think he'll start, Kieran, to be honest. I think he'll probably be on the bench for this one, but I think they've just got such a plethora of talent in midfield and attacking midfield, Rovers have, that you just think that you can take Burke out and replace him with somebody else and won't weaken it too much. You know, we were all raving about Jack Byrne, weren't we, last season? So, I think they'll edge it, Kieran.
I disagree there. I don't think you can replace Burke in that team. I think he's even more probably in an attacking sense. I know Byrne likes to control the play from deep and he obviously chips in with plenty of goals and assists, but Burke, he showed with the 5 goals the other night. He's just absolutely lethal in and around that final third of the pitch. I mean, for some of them goals he got against Cork, yes, the defending was bad, but he didn't have a lot of space to operate and he just made it look so easy. I think he's impossible to take out of that team, and he's already got 5 goals now up early in the season. There's no reason he can't get 10 or 15 goals this season if he's there for the full season. Gaffney, I'm not sure on that signing, John. He hasn't had a great year or so in England. His goal record isn't exactly prolific. And he's 30 years of age now. To be honest, I haven't seen him play in the flesh since he was last with Limerick, so I don't know, does he still have that electric pace? They used to call him the Ginger Ronaldo down in Limerick. That's how quick he was and how powerful he was. Now, if he's anything like that, Rovers have got one hell of a player on their hands, but I'd probably still be a lot happier with Pat Hoban in my team.
Yeah, well, obviously you've got tried and tested there, haven't you, with Pat Hoban? But we've seen strikers come over from England where maybe they haven't done like Hoban. I mean, let's face it, his goal scoring record in England was pretty atrocious for Oxford when he came back to Dundalk.
Yeah, he had a lot of injuries, but I know Gaffney's had his injury problems too, so there's probably similarities in that regard. And we haven't mentioned as well, Kolevich very well could be set to make the squad for the first time. He's supposed to be arriving in Dundalk this week after red tape has held up his arrival in Ireland.
Right, okay. So we could have a possible 2-day debuts then, one on each side. You talk about Graham Burke here, and I wonder, have you any idea why he didn't make it over in England? I mean, he went over there, didn't he? Preston, decent fee, but really never shone, did he? I think he had a good start to his time at Preston, but after that, not a right lot, and he's ended up back on loan here at Rovers.
Well, even you look at Maguire, and when he went over, he had a good start, but he still ended up playing wide a lot of the time, when obviously his natural position would be through the middle. And obviously they've got Alan Brown at Preston, who's their key player in that kind of position, so I suppose it's just he's found it hard to get a run of games, and when that happens, when you do eventually get on the pitch, then you just don't have the same confidence. He's come back to Rovers, so he's living at home where he's happy with his family, and you can just see it in the way he plays, can't you?
Yeah, definitely. So come on, what's your prediction, Kieran? I've gone for a Rovers to edge it.
KG 0-0 draw for me.
KG 0-0, so it's going to be a cracker then. Oh, full house and a 0-0 draw.
Yeah,
great stuff, Kieran.
Definitely written in the stars. Let's move on to what should be another full house and should be an absolutely belting atmosphere. It's the return of a Dublin derby at Tolka Park. Shells host St. Pat's.
Looking forward to this one, Kieran. This should be, like you say, this should be a belter and a belting atmosphere as well. I don't think there's many better grounds when it's full and, you know, than Tolka for a great atmosphere. And, Shells will make it nice and intimidating, this one, I would have thought.
Yeah, if you remember the opening weekend, one of the words we used about Waterford's performance down against Pats, they bullied Pats at times. Shells, we've said it earlier, they're a very physical side. I wonder, could they just maybe just have a bit too much strength for Pats again?
And again, you know, a lot of these fixtures this week I found tricky to predict because, you know, it's such an early start to the season and we've seen some real up and down performances from teams. I've gone with Pats for this one, Kieran, right, just because they've a bit more experience in the league and Shells are just back up and Dublin derby, and I think Pats might edge this one.
Yeah, let's be honest, with a derby, we never really, any derby in the world, you never really get a free-flowing game of football. It's always cagey and it's physical, and I think that'll fall perfectly into Shell's hands if that is the case here. As you said, intimidating atmosphere behind them. And I said it earlier in the show, I just don't see a clinical goal scorer in that Pats team. Now, Forrester could turn up on the night and get a hat-trick, and if he does, then... great for Pats, but if he doesn't perform,
clattered in the first 10 minutes.
Exactly. If he doesn't perform, you look at Shells, and I mean, they've got a proven goal scorer who's been round the block and killed off, and that always makes me just lean towards Shells when we come to these kind of flip of a coin 50-50 games. So I'm going to go with a Shells win 1-0.
We'll agree to disagree, Kieran. Derry host Bowes, Kieran.
Again, you said it, these Premier Division fixtures this week in particular are very, very tough to call. Derry, you know, they probably should have more than a point on the board in truth. Whereas Bowes, they've got back-to-back wins now and they're absolutely flying. Mandrew is flying in himself. I can't call it really. It's probably going to be another draw. I'm really going for more draws than I've ever gone this season. It's been such a tight start to the season.
I'm joining you, Kieran, with a draw. But yeah, Derry would be desperate to get a win, won't they, on the board. But... I think Bowes, they're very good, aren't they? They're well organised. They've a great young team, some wise heads in that team as well. But I can't pick a winner on it. I'm going for a draw.
Yeah, and even McGuinness coming in as a backup for Talbot, brilliant backup to have. So well organised. They're very rarely.
He needs to get that 99 off his shirt, Kieran, for a start, though.
Yeah, they very rarely give away the sort of goal that we've seen Derry give away against Harps at the weekend. They're just well organised and they don't mind having to be a little bit direct if they have to at times, but when they do get it down and play, they're a very good side in their own right. Derry Bowes, I'm going for a draw there, but we've seen Bowes go to the Brandy Well in the last couple of seasons and get results, so it wouldn't be a major surprise either way, that one. Cork against Harps, this is absolutely massive for Cork, isn't it?
It's huge. This is the kind of game they... like I said earlier, that they'd be looking to kickstart the season. But Harps, they're just... it's all the organ all over it, isn't it? But I think they've added to it this season. They're not the Harps that we've seen in previous seasons. They've been hard working in the past, but, boy, these guys never stop, do they?
No.
They've got such... they've got some good pace in the sides. They've got the closing down. And I think they'll make it another horrendous night for that Cork defence if they play like they did against Derry.
Yeah, and the fact they've got off to a good start now, everyone's just going to buy into that system of Ollie's even more, and they're going to be really up for it. And when they see the likes of Cork and Sligo really struggling, they're going to think, let's go down to Turner's Cross and get 3 points and let's really put them under pressure.
Yeah, because we know how Neil likes to play. He's going to play that passing out from the back, that slow build. And Harps tight press.
Yeah, it's asking for trouble.
You know, the confidence is probably shot already in those defenders for Cork so early in the season. And, you know, the one thing they don't want is the ball to them, you know, with Harps strikers bearing down on them. It could be tough, this one for Cork.
And before I ask you for a prediction, you mentioned the way Neil Fenn likes his teams to play. Even when he was with Longford and Longford were playing some phenomenal stuff, they always looked vulnerable at the back and they always looked like they might just gift the team a goal through playing out from the back so much. And he did try to address that at times and be a little bit more direct, but then at times it could become aimless at times as well. So he's in a sticky situation here with Cork. They don't really have that proven man up front they can ping the ball up to, like a Kilduff or a Hoban or whoever you want to pick out that's good at that style of football. And... I don't know.
So you've got to have players that are comfortable on the ball when you're playing that kind of, you know, that kind of build from the back, you know, work from the back. And, you know, I don't think Longford necessarily had four good ball-playing defenders that season. I think that was maybe what the issue, that's why he ended up going direct. And I can see the Cork defenders, they might be very good with the ball at their feet, but to me, they're going to be panicking, the confidence is shot, they're going to fear another disaster in front of goals, the errors that were made. I really do feel the worst for them.
Right, go on, give us a call.
tops, mate.
Yeah, I follow you on that one. Let's move on to another team looking trouble. Sligo, they host Waterford.
Yeah, well, again, you've said all we had to say about Sligo. They can't score a goal. They can't defend. You know, it's asking for trouble, isn't it? Waterford, mixed bag so far this season. Sligo see this as an opportunity for 3 points, but Waterford, they will fancy the chances in this, Kieran. And I think if O'Connor can get a goal, it'll set him on the way. And yeah, I think it's going to be more misery for Sligo in this one.
I just look at this fixture and I think this is a fixture Sligo have to be winning. As you said, Waterford, very mixed bag so far. Again, I've raised the question or whether there's going to be enough goals on their side. I seem to be saying that about a lot of the teams in the league this year, but managers are really finding it hard to get a good striker into their sides. And we know scoring goals has been an issue for Sligo. Defending's been an issue. They're probably not going to get a better chance than this. Waterford making the trip down to Sligo. They've taken a couple of beatings in the last couple of weeks, so confidence is going to be low. They need to get something Sligo, but I can't confidently say that they will. It's another tough one for me to call, so I'll probably just go with a draw and sit on the fence here. But yeah, I don't know what way that one's going to play out, to be honest.
Okay, we'll move on to the first division, Kieran. There are some big fixtures in this, and none bigger than Drogheda against Longford Town, the two pre-season favourites.
Yeah, Drogheda have cruised to their first couple of wins, or their first win, I should say. Longford, they looked a little bit laboured at times. Obviously, the pitch and the conditions weren't great. Credit to the ground staff, they did an amazing job to get the game on at all, but it certainly wasn't an ideal night for football. Whereas Drogheda went to a difficult venue in St. Coleman's Park, and they cruised to a 2-0 win. They created plenty of chances. Whereas Longford, they probably didn't create as many clear-cut chances, John, as they should have given the amount of possession they had.
No, and of course they're going to be without their X factor, which is Dean Byrne at this one. And you just wonder, because obviously you take Dean out of the team and you're looking for the replacement. You're probably thinking Jack Doherty will come in, I would say, to replace him, or James English. So you've got a couple of decent replacements there. But like I say, you're just missing the X factor.
He's irreplaceable. He really is.
Dylan McBlade.
Yeah, he's the irreplaceable player in that team, because it's not just the goals he gives you. He gets so deep on the pitch and collects the ball, spins his way out of the tightest little spaces, links the play with midfield. He brings the fullbacks into play. He's absolutely irreplaceable for Longford. I'm gutted that he's injured.
Yeah, myself too, and that all leads me to, and I can't believe, I'm going to go for a draw to win in this one, Kieran.
Well, I'm going to take Pelters with you, John, because that's the same way I'm leaning too.
Yeah, okay. Bray host Wexford with an impressive draw to start the season. Bray with that first half battering at Cabo. Can they improve in this one?
They have to improve. I posed you the question at the start of the show, are Bray building us up to let us down? We'll soon know after this one. You'll remember early in the campaign last year, they suffered some really shock defeats. I think Athlone went and got a win against Bray, didn't they? 1-0 early on in the season. Wexford are of a similar level to Athlone. And look, they're not shopping in the same market for players. This is a very, very young Wexford team, and they showed great fighting characteristics to get that result against UCD. But Bray, with the players they've brought in, should be absolutely cruising to victory here. I'm not saying that they will, but they absolutely have to get 3 points here.
Yeah, and they have to, and I think they will, Kieran. I can see Bray winning this by a couple of goals. I still think Wexford will be down there. But I have to say, I think some poor teams in the first division this season that are going to struggle, and Wexford's one of them. So a Bray win for me.
Yeah, I'm going with a Bray win as well, but look, we're falling down the same trapdoor that we fell down before with Bray, I feel. Athlone against Cabinteely, is this one slightly difficult to call, or should Cabinteely, after that opening win, should they be a heavy favourite for this?
Well, they will be heavy favourites, because we know where Athlone have been recruiting from, but I remember a season or two ago, Athlone, 3 matches played, 9 points, I think they finished bottom, so you know, anything can happen at the start of the season, but yeah, that'll be a big confidence booster for Cabo. Kieran Marty Waters in the goals.
I think they should win this against Athlone. Well, I'm not so sure what kind of team they're going to be putting out. We know, like I say, we know where their signings have come from, but yeah, I'd expect Cavan Taylor to win this one.
Yeah, it's probably a strange thing to say, but the postponement of that game in Galway has probably done Athlone a favour, because I think we were both in agreement that they might have been on the end of a bit of a tonking off Galway. Whereas they have a home game here now against the Cavan Taylor side, where they might just be thinking we can probably get something from this, despite the fact Cabo scored 4 in their opening game. You know, they can probably think they might be able to mix it with Cabo a little bit more than they would have been able to mix it with Galway, who have invested heavily in the off-season. I'm still siding with a Cabo win, but Athlone might make it slightly difficult. It's their first game of the season. They'll be eager to get out there and get in amongst it.
Yeah, well, I'm going for a Cavan Taylor win as well, Kieran. Move on to two teams that had very indifferent starts. UCD against Cove.
Yeah, again, this is a difficult one to call. I said it on one of the opening shows of the season that we won't know really much about UCD until they've played a couple of games together and we see how they're shaping up. Look, a draw down in Wexford on the opening day. It's not a disastrous result, but Wexford thoroughly deserved it. They had more shots on goal than UCD, which is surprising, and the possession stats were fairly level as well. You'd normally think UCD would have plenty of the ball, so that shows to me that maybe we're not going to see UCD up towards the top end of the table like we have in previous seasons. Cove, look, we're repeating ourselves with Cove, they're always difficult to play against, but Drogheda, they cruised by them, didn't they? So it's a tough trip for Cove to make. I'm gonna call this one a draw. I don't think there's a lot between them. I think they're probably operating off a very similar level this year.
I think the same, but I think UCD might just edge it with home advantage. But yeah, I don't think I think both teams could have tricky seasons. All right, Kieran. And look, finally, the match on Saturday is Shamrock Rovers 2 against Galway.
Yeah, just before we move on to that one, on Cove, they've struggled for a striker for the last number of seasons. I remember we had Hendo on the show, and he was looking far and wide, and he eventually tapped into the Munster Senior League, and I don't think it was a great success in the end. But UCD, we said it at the start of the show, they have this Colin Whelan chap, and he looks like he could be a bit of a player, so I probably do lean more towards UCD for that game than Cove, but a draw probably is probably very likely at the same time.
That's why I just edged it towards UCD. As I say, you reckon this guy's the real deal, he could be in the top goal scorer chart, so that's why I have him leading UCD to win against Cove.
And let's move on to the final game. Shamrock Rovers 2 against Galway United. First chance for Galway this season to get out and play. Nice setting for them to go to the Talla Stadium. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, it could be. I wonder what the atmosphere will be like, Kieran, because I don't expect there to be too many there at this one. We know Shamrock Rovers didn't bring a massive support to Longford, and you know, you like to think there'll be plenty of Galway going across, but it's a big stadium for this kind of fixture, Kieran.
Yeah, so I'm sure Galway will bring a big crowd, but from a Shamrock Rovers point of view, I know they are given free entry to the first division games with a season ticket, and the season ticket uptake has been brilliant at Rovers, but it might be a little bit after the Lord Mayor's show with what's going on the night before in Talla.
Yeah. I think Galway will get the season off to a winner here at Talla. I think they've recruited well. You know, some of the players they've brought in, decent. And, you know, in Vinny Fahate, they've got a recognised goal scorer. I think Shamrock Rovers too, I think they'll struggle for goals. They lacked, certainly against Longford, I thought they lacked a bit of composure on the ball. They have some raw talent there, obviously, with it being a young side, but I think they might struggle to score many goals this season. I think Galway will win this one.
Ah, look, I'm sure that composure on the ball will come. Look, it's a development side. They're here to develop as players. And you had Brandon Kavanagh from the first team playing the other night for them against Longford. Sean Brennan's a player we know that keeps the ball well. He was with Longford last season, and he's on loan with Rovers from Southampton. They have a couple of recognised players in that side after all. And the guy up front, Armstrong, he really should have scored. It was easier to score than miss when he hit the crossbar against Longford from about 6 yards out with a header. But I think Rovers are going to do okay for what can be expected. I think they'll pick up points here and there. Don't expect them to pick up points against Galway. We said it was probably not the worst thing in the world for Athlone to have that game called off last week. It's a disaster for Galway. It would have been a good chance for them to fine-tune themselves in front of their own fans. And now they have to go into the unknown a little bit. They probably won't know an awful lot about this Shamrock Rovers 2 side, but I'd still expect Galway to get the job done.
More than Longford did, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, I'd expect them to get the job done. Let's move on to the charity bet, John. You're off to a flyer in the first couple of weeks. You've been 100% success rate so far. Let's see, can you add to it this week? What have you got for me?
Well, I don't think I will, but you know, I have to back up my talk, so I'm going for a Harps and Waterford double.
Right, okay. I think that pays over 9-1 at the moment, so get that confirmed. But be a nice few quid for the charity kitty if that comes in.
Stuff. Anybody think you worked at the bookies, Kieran?
From my own point of view, I haven't chipped in yet this season. I'm going to stick with the first division this week because that Premier Division fixture list just looks an absolute nightmare to call. So I'm going to go Drogheda. I'm going to go Bray. I'm going to go Cabin Teely, and I'm going to go Galway.
Okey-doke. So you're going for four?
Four. I'm going four-fold, yeah. And just to mention to our listeners, as always, our charity bet's a fiver each between myself and John, so a tenner every week, and it's very kindly sponsored by bar1racing.com, so big thanks to them, our current charity.
How
at the moment.
How much have you won so far, Kieran?
We have about 31 quid in the kitty at the moment, so as I said at the start of the show, we're raising it for at the moment for local autism charities in Dundalk. But if any listeners have any charity suggestions, and if there's something you'd like to make us aware of, please do get in touch, and we'd love to raise a few pounds for as many charities as we can across the country this season. John, I think that's everything.
That is indeed. That was I enjoyed that, Kieran.
Yeah, you won't be making the trip to Drogheda on Friday, no?
Unfortunately not. Work calls, and I'm working on Friday. I won't be able to get there on time, but hopefully you might give me some live commentary, Kieran.
No, them days are gone. It's very much just get out there and enjoy it and support the team. And should be a good atmosphere. It'd be nice to see a big draw at a home support and a big Longford away support. And I think we're going to be treated to some good attendances across the country, particularly in the Premier Division this weekend, which is great to see.
Yeah, definitely. And it's great to see so many out and about watching the teams. I know Longford's attendance was a bit disappointing against against that Rovers team, but I mean it's very early days, and it was a horrendous night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it'd take egots like us to be standing out in that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Won't be anywhere else though, will we?
No, we love it. Folks, we'll speak to you again next week. Thanks very much for joining us. John, once again, thanks a million, and we'll see you next week.